I have nothing to forgive you for.
What's the matter with you? You should be making the most of life. Tomorrow we could all be dead.
In 1979, Saddam Hussein made himself president of Iraq, ruthlessly eradicating his enemies and promoting those who demonstrated their loyalty. People being shot in an alleyway.
Is that her? She is pretty.
She is married.
An explosion rips through a building. Within a year, Saddam had begun a bloody and brutal war with Iraq's neighbor, Iran.
Hussein, stand on your head. For the president.
For you, you would do anything.
Mr. Blunt.
Watch this crusade.
8 years later, hundreds of thousands are dead and the country's on the verge of bankruptcy. Saddam declares a victory.
Ramat Habibti, I want you to know I would only trust the happiness of my daughter to a man who owes me everything. Hussein is such a man. He will be responsible for my personal security.
BBC, in association with HBO Films, House of Saddam. Baghdad, August 1988. Traffic streams along a street at night. Then revelers dancing in a swanky nightclub. Egal Naor, Shuri Agdashlu, Makram J. Khoury. Uday Hussein weaves his way through the dancers, groping a young woman as he passes. Saeed Ahmadis, Arma Wakid, Philip Arditi.
Celebrate!
Uday gets up on stage and fires a gun at the ceiling.
Get up! Get down!
Hey, what's up with the music? Let's have some music!
He shoots the drummer.
Come on. What's the matter with you?
We just won a war.
The clubbers dance with nervous expressions.
Dance, everyone!
Sitting on a stool at the bar, Hussein Kamil, having observed everything, heads off and goes into a back room, where a security guard is watching a bank of CCTV monitors. Uday's gyrating against a woman.
Another great night for our little prince, Uday.
Yes, General Hussein.
Written by Alex Holmes and Stephen Butchard. Hussein takes away a VHS tape, then strides outside, passing a large poster of Saddam. He gets into a car. The law is anything I write on a piece of paper. Saddam Hussein. In Baghdad Palace, a man sitting in the hall with a pointed object covered in a white cloth on his lap. He looks nervous.
Mohammed Ghani!
He stands.
May I present to you the Victory Arch?
It's a bit small.
No, no, Your Excellency. This is just a model.
I'm joking. Tell me about your plans. I see you have adapted my design.
Only very, very slightly, Your Excellency. You see how the ground bursts open, and from it springs an arm of power and determination. But this is no ordinary arm. The arm of victory is none other than the arm of our leader, President Saddam Hussein himself. God preserve and watch over him. An exact replica of Your Excellency's arm, enlarged 40 times and cast in metal from the melted down weapons of Iraq's martyrs. Nothing like it exists in the Arab world or anywhere else in the world for that matter, Your Excellency.
A fitting monument for the martyred sons of Iraq.
Indeed, but expensive, Your Excellency.
Our victory over Iran deserves nothing less. Good. Good.
Mohammed Ghani and Carmel Hanna bow as Saddam heads towards the door, where moments before, Samira, the blonde teacher, had given Saddam a seductive look.
Where's my father?
He's up there, sir.
Baba?
At last, Carmel.
We would like the food served at 12 o'clock tomorrow. No later.
For how many?
I don't know. 20, including the president. Take plenty.
Carmel strides out of the kitchen, leaving his father, wearing a chef's uniform, watching after him. He goes into Saddam's office to find Uday slowly pacing the room.
Is Baba here?
No, sir. Your father has left.
Is he with the blonde? Is he with her now? Or is it a different hope? She's been here, hasn't she?
Carmel faces the desk, his back turned towards Uday. Uday closes the door and approaches him. He stands close behind him, then traces his finger along the hairline behind his ear.
Your Baba's little servant. But Baba won't always be president.
He turns Carmel around and takes out a handgun. He pushes Carmel over the desk, pressing the gun against his forehead.
I know. You bring her here. I know. You arrange their meetings. You're her pimp.
He shoves the gun in Carmel's mouth.
For my mother, I will kill you.
He raises Carmel's head with the gun barrel.
For my father, I let you live.
He takes the gun out of his mouth and walks away. Later, Saddam is sitting at his desk while Mohammed takes a cast of his arm. Tariq Aziz is standing in front of the desk.
We can remove the cast now, if Your Excellency would permit. Yes.
The Kuwait government yesterday announced an increase in their output to 2.1 million barrels.
We fought on Kuwait's behalf. They share in our victory. They're supposed to be our brothers.
I estimate that Kuwait's increase in oil production has driven down the prices per barrel by 20%.
At a time when Iraq needs every dollar to rebuild. Why, Tariq? Who wins?
Who buys the oil?
It's not just about the price of oil. There's more to it. Raise... Ah!
So sorry, Excellency.
Okay, my fault. Raise the issue at the next OPEC meeting. I want the other nations to hear our complaints.
Of course.
Excellent, Your Excellency. Excellent.
At the UN, they are talking about the possibility of sanctions.
We'll talk about it at lunch. You are invited to lunch with my family.
Mr. President, I have further meetings.
Bring an appetite. If I have to suffer, so does my deputy.
Hussein, at lunch, be sure to tell your father I'm not behind these articles praising me in the newspapers. Please. The victory over Iran belongs to the president and no one else.
General Rashid, my father understands that the press have pages to fill.
But you are a hero, Baba.
Zahar, I'm a soldier like any other soldier.
I'll speak to Baba about it. Anyway, don't worry. You're family now. Mustafa's grandpa.
Kusei kisses the baby's head.
Habibti, we really have to go.
Raghad! Raghad, yalla!
Hussein, this is silly. We're going to be so early.
I want to be early. I want to make sure I get the seat next to your father. Before your idiot brother gets it.
Don't let Baba hear you talk about to die that way.
Sagita looks at her brand new blonde haircut in the mirror. Adnan standing behind her.
It suits you.
You're my brother. You have to say nice things.
If Saddam doesn't see it, he's either a liar or blind. It suits you.
In the palace kitchen, a knife slices into the belly of a fish, while the kitchen hands bustle about. In the dining room, the family are eating at the table. Saddam sitting at the head, not eating. Ali tucks into his food.
Thought the children might have been here, Rahad.
They're at school, Baba.
Don't get to see enough of them.
I could arrange another lunch, just for you, me, and the grandchildren.
Maybe.
It would be fun. The children would love it.
Ali. Tariq is concerned about Iraq's reputation at the United Nations.
Yes, they are questioning the operation against the Kurds.
in particular at Halabja.
It was war. What did they expect us to do in war? Send flowers?
They are calling it genocide.
Genocide? All because I killed a few Kurds?
No, Ali. It is because you enjoyed it.
And this is supposed to be a family occasion?
And we are government.
Reagan knows about our use of chemical weapons.
And still, the foreign policy favors Iraq.
Why, Oday?
They recognize Iraq as the leading Arab nation.
Agreed.
I think all our soldiers are all very courageous. Don't you, Kusei?
I have also noted that the United Nations...
Forget the UN, Tarek. Kuwait is our priority. If the price of oil continues to drop, there will be no economy and therefore nothing for the UN to sanction.
We should take them out, Baba. They're tiny.
A leader must be prepared to negotiate all day. And one day you'll be leader.
Uday glances at Kamil, standing off to one side. Saddam looks at Sajida.
You changed your hair?
Do you like it?
It's blonde.
If you like it, I like it. Whatever makes you happy.
But do you like it?
Saddam considers.
It looks cheap.
Baba, it does not. It looks nice.
Sajida, I'm not an expert, but I think it looks very nice.
I've had enough.
She looks crushed.
Excuse me.
She gets up and leaves. Saddam sips his drink and wipes his mouth with a napkin. Saddam dives into his pool, viewed from below, sunlight glaring through thousands of tiny rippling bubbles. He breaststrokes the length of the pool, then holds onto the edge where Adnan is waiting.
There was a time we only had a river. It was our playground and our larder. Times change. Sajida misses you.
She's still my wife, Adnan.
That's what she misses, being your wife.
She's everything she's ever wished for, and she is you.
I'm not her husband.
I can't, Adnan. I've taken a new wife.
Samira.
Yes, Samira. If you wish, tell your sister. Personally, I didn't want to cause her unnecessary pain. When you address me in future, Adnan, remember I'm your president.
I came as a friend, Mr. President. Not as commander of your army.
But you may wish to know that your army also feel neglected. They have fought for peace, and they want to return to their families. But we have no money to pay them. 1 million men, Mr. President. All waiting to be told what to do.
But the truth is not what you want to hear.
Adnan!
Wait! Wait!
Saddam steps out of the pool, and Kamil puts a robe on him.
I know what you say is true. I will feed my army and my country. But I cannot give to Sajida what isn't there anymore. I'm sorry. She's your sister. I hope you understand.
They hug, Saddam patting him on the back. Saddam gives Adnan a short nod, then Adnan walks away. Saddam watches him leaving with an intense look. In the kitchen, Kamil's father gives him a jewelry gift box.
Happy birthday.
A watch.
Thank you.
He spots Sajida.
Madame, how can I help you?
He married her. You knew before I knew. A servant. Never look at me again.
Yes, madame. I mean, no, madame.
Never speak to me.
She storms off. Adnan and General Rashid are in the shooting gallery, while Saddam and Hussein look on from a viewing room.
How would you describe the mood of the people, Hussein?
The people?
The people.
They are happy, joyful that the war is over. They are optimistic. Iraq has a bright future ahead of it, with a great leader.
And what is their view of General Khairallah?
Many see him as the perfect soldier, an intelligent warrior capable of leading from the front.
Who are these many?
His fellow officers, the men he commands.
Men like Qusay's father-in-law, General Rashid.
They would follow him into any battle. And since the war with Iran, he even has the affection of the people. Not more than their president, of course.
An army's loyalty should be to Iraq, not to an individual commander. What happens if the commander falls in battle?
You are right.
The Kuwaiti problem may escalate. I need to be sure of everybody.
Adnan finishes his session and heads towards the viewing room. Saddam leaves, passing Adnan on his way out.
Good grouping. I keep my eye in. Are you not shooting, Hussein?
I am here to assist the president.
And how is the president?
He has traitors on his mind. Kuwait. A betrayal by brother Arabs is difficult to stomach.
Agreed.
You are the voice he trusts most, Adnan. You are practically his brother.
What of it?
He needs you at his shoulder.
Is there room for both of us, Hussein?
I am still learning. Good shooting.
Switzerland. A jumbo jet lands at the airport.
Iraq's muscle flexing in the Gulf has dominated the OPEC oil ministers' talks in Geneva. Iraq hasn't succeeded in getting the full price rise it wanted, but an increase to around $20 a barrel is likely.
In a hotel.
Here comes Kuwait. The last man to rob me had the grace to wear a mask.
The Kuwaitis sit at a conference table.
My president has asked me to register his considerable disappointment with our brothers from Kuwait. Kuwaiti greed and overproduction cost us all dearly. This is money Iraq can ill afford to lose. But gentlemen, it is my sad duty to reveal that greed is not the limit of our complaint against Kuwait. We have discovered something more sinister. Please.
Someone closes the blinds.
We have discovered that the Kuwaitis have been using American technology to slant drill into oil fields under Iraq's sovereign territory.
A slide presentation.
Extraction of this oil is nothing less than theft of our natural resources. I'm disappointed to see that our Kuwaiti brothers appear amused and unconcerned. Nevertheless, we look forward to an overdue apology, and we demand an immediate end to this shameful practice.
Photographs and diagrams of oil rigs. At Kusei's apartment.
I can't believe he actually married her.
Uday's lying on the sofa. Kusei sits on an armchair opposite and puts his drink on a glass coffee table.
What if he married her because she was pregnant? What if they have a son? He will be firstborn.
Don't be stupid, Uday. You're firstborn.
In this family, yes. Not in his new family.
He doesn't have a new family. We're the only family. We're the only sons. So, he has a second wife. Happened.
She's a whore.
She's a beautiful whore. Have you seen her?
Zaki, shut it. Go and see where all that noise is coming from.
Zaki puts down his pool cue and heads out onto the balcony. Kruse eats some peanuts.
Looks like some party at one of the guest houses over on the island.
Must be coming, Hannah.
The little shit. He'll keep me awake all night. Come on, Zaki.
I'll die. Let it go. Zaki, keep an eye on him.
An outdoor party beside a spacious swimming pool overlooked by a large guest house. Kamil drinks from a bottle, while the guests laugh and dance, one of them falling into the water. Clutching the pool cue, Uday and Zaki barge into the party, and Uday approaches Kamil. The guests look on with uneasy expressions. Kamil notices Uday.
This party is over. You must all go home. I said you must all go home.
Uday.
Sir, we have the president's blessing for this party, so we are entitled to enjoy it. Why don't you leave us alone, sir?
How dare you speak to me like that? Get off there, get down!
Kamil steps off a diving board.
I'm trying to be respectful and polite, sir. I am very drunk. I can barely see you.
Don't make fun of me, you fucking whoremonger!
Uday hits Kamil across the head with the pool cue, sending him to the ground, then kicks him savagely in the head.
Stop, please! It's not worth it!
Kamil's lying motionless, a pool of blood streaming from the back of his head, his eyes staring lifelessly into space. Uday looks at the shocked guests. A wide smile spreads across his face. Back at Kuse's house...
You killed him, Uday! I can't believe you did it!
Shut the fuck up!
What's happening?
Zaki keeps saying that I killed Kamil and...
You did!
Did I?
What do you mean, did I? You either killed him or you didn't. You must know.
I killed him!
How the fuck do you know?
You got his fucking brains all over your steak!
Oh, shit. So what if I killed him, huh?
But he belonged to Baba. He trusted him and Baba trusts no one. You know that, Uday? I'm telling you, this is very serious.
Zaki was there telling me he provoked me. Hey, we'll get witnesses to say that he provoked me. Leave it!
Kruse marches over to the phone.
Yes?
Who is this?
It's Kruse, I'm saying, what do you want?
Tell him to fuck off! Mind his own fucking business!
Tell me it is not true.
No, it is true.
Fuck off, Hussein!
Have you told your father? Not yet. Okay. I will deal with it.
No. You tell me where...
By slipping and I'll deal with it.
Shit!
Hussein looks pleased.
Shit. Baba is going to kill you.
Hey! Shit! What do you think you're doing now? Shit. Uday!
Uday locks himself into the bathroom.
Uday!
Fuck!
Open the door.
Fuck!
Uday!
Fuck!
Open the door.
I mean it!
Open the door.
Kick it in.
Uday!
Uday puts a gun in his mouth and takes it out and shoots through the door, just missing his brother. Uday takes a bottle of pills out of the medicine cabinet, empties them into his hand, then hesitates, staring at them. He puts them in his mouth and swallows, while Kruse and Zaki listen at the door.
Uday! Are you okay?
Now Uday is in a hospital bed. Saddam storms into the room.
They made me puke.
Saddam, he knows what he did was wrong.
I want to speak to my son alone.
And we have to deal with this properly.
Everybody but my idiot son, out.
Baba, I swear it was an accident. I didn't mean to kill him. I'm so sorry. Hussein!
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't cut you into pieces. One reason.
I have no reason.
You think? Violence is a pastime? It is a tool! What are we? Barbarians?
Hussein!
Excellency.
I want to know everything my son has done. Everything! And put him in a cell!
Little prince, you've really done it this time.
In his bedroom, Saddam's staring at TV footage of an oil refinery.
He's a spiteful child. I can't believe he killed Kamalana.
I beat him, Samira. Like my stepfather beat me.
You are not your stepfather. You are not your father. You are Saddam Hussein. You had good reason to beat him.
She sits on the bed and rubs his shoulders.
You are the father of the nation. You have to feed us, protect us, and love us. And in return, we love you too.
Saddam stares into space with a dour expression. Now Saddam and Adnan are watching CCTV footage of Uday firing his gun in the club.
I'm afraid this type of behavior seems to be normal for Uday. He drinks alcohol. He is violent in public places.
That's enough.
Saddam walks over to his desk.
Sons are not always like their fathers.
But he is still young.
He brings shame too often to your house, Saddam.
He is still my son.
He's opening the door for a challenge to the president.
Challenge from where?
From those who feel that Uday's behavior is typical of this family and this government. The war with Iran has all but brought us to our knees. We are a tired nation.
The war with Iran has raised Iraq to new heights.
Only Iraq and its president stood up to Khomeini.
We haven't
been weakened by war. We've been enhanced by war.
Blessed by victory.
Does the army disagree, General? Are there cabals who are no longer loyal? Is that what you are saying?
Loyalty of the army is not in question here.
So who is it that dares to challenge the president, Adnan? Tell me, as a brother.
The matter in hand is Uday.
I do not wish to see him harmed. But he is not a leader.
Hussein, do you have an opinion?
I may agree with you, Adnan, that Uday's behavior brings a degree of shame to this house. But in all honesty, my opinion does not matter. I could never presume to place myself in the shoes of our president. Never.
Saddam and Adnan exchange a look. Then Adnan walks away, Saddam watching him leave. Uday is crouching in a prison cell. He gets up and clutches the bars as Saddam strides over, accompanied by armed guards. The door is opened and Saddam steps inside. He takes out a handgun and Uday cowers under his bed. Saddam sits at the end of the bed. He looks down at the gun in his hand and gently caresses the barrel.
What am I to do about the Kurds?
He considers his own question.
Neither Arab nor Iraqi. Loyal only to themselves. And what about America? Should I say, thank you, Mr. Bush. Thank you for your credits, for the rice and grain, for your letters of friendship. Or do I scream at them for collaborating with Kuwait, for squeezing the life out of my country? What of my own people?
He leans forward.
Do I spend our dollars on education and leave us open to attack? Do I invest in weapons for the army? Maybe I should forget my responsibilities and drink and whore like my son. Tell me why you should live or die. Tell me why.
Because I'm sorry. Because I'm your son.
Saddam shakes his head and cocks the gun.
Papa, I swear. Nothing like this will happen again. Never, I swear.
You are supposed to be my heir.
Papa, I'm sorry. I promise I'll be good. I'm sorry.
Saddam has curled his finger round the trigger.
Yes. You're sorry.
Saddam heads out of the cell. Hussein stands by the door, fixing Uday with a cold stare.
Well, what's Baba going to do?
Worried, little prince? You're no longer important.
A group of men stride down the far end of a corridor. The rotor blades of a helicopter spin around as Hussein and Adnan stride towards it. Saddam's sitting in his office playing with a lighter, flicking it on and off and staring at the flame. Hussein and Adnan hug each other goodbye, then salute. Saddam flicks the lighter on and off. Adnan is escorted into the helicopter. The group of men continue to stride down the corridor. The helicopter lifts off. Hussein gets into his car as the helicopter rises. The group of men reach the end of the corridor and turn a corner. In his car, Hussein looks at his watch. The helicopter swoops through the air. Saddam flicks on his lighter. Saddam flicks off the lighter. The helicopter explodes in a ball of flame.
Gentlemen, I have sad news for all of us. It concerns a dear friend and a brave soldier. It is with regret that I have to inform you the death of our comrade and friend, General Adnan Khairallah.
How did he die?
I was informed just over an hour ago. A helicopter accident. We will all miss him greatly. Some weeks ago, Adnan advised me of unrest within the army. I've invited you here today to allow you to voice any opinion or grievances you may have or might have heard. The floor is yours.
Saddam sits down at the head of the table, Kuse standing behind him. Seated round the table, the generals glance about nervously, including General Rashid. Saddam watches them carefully.
We face betrayal by Kuwait. Now is not the time for disharmony. General Rashid.
Your Excellency.
Please leave the room by the door behind you.
Kuse looks shocked and shares a brief look with General Rashid.
Now, General, please.
The general leaves.
I demand absolute loyalty from my generals.
Your Excellency. I think I speak on behalf of all of us gathered here. You have our undying loyalty and love.
They bang the palms of their hands on the table. Saddam and Kusei stride down the corridor.
Baba, what's happening? Does Mama know about Amr Adnan?
Not yet.
How did it happen, Baba?
I don't know.
General Rashid.
Saddam stops and turns to face his son.
What do we tell my Sahara?
You tell her the truth.
Saddam steps towards him.
You tell her that her father has been placed under house arrest, and that will not change as long as I am president.
Of course.
They look into each other's eyes.
I understand. I'm your servant.
Saddam touches Kusei's face, then squeezes his shoulder before walking away. Saddam joins Hussein at the end of the corridor. Sahar and Kusei in their bedroom.
I have to see him.
You won't be allowed.
I am his daughter.
It is forbidden. He is to have no visitors, not yet.
You are the president's son. Do something!
I can't!
She storms over to the wardrobe and starts pulling out clothes and laying them on the bed.
What are you doing?
Going to my father's house.
You can't. You're going nowhere. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop
it.
Stop it!
He clutches her to his chest.
Stop it. Stop it.
He looks at her face and caresses her hair. He looks intently into her eyes.
You think you can just do as you please? You can't. You're my wife. And that makes you my father's daughter. Don't you understand what that means? Pay cost trouble, and your father will pay. Accept it.
Sarjita throws open the doors to Saddam's office and storms in, followed by a group of children. Saddam rises from his desk, where he's holding a meeting.
Here he is, children. Your hero father. Your hero grandfather. Hiding behind his desk in his uniform.
Sarjita, what do you want?
Tell them why. Tell them why you killed my brother. Tell them! Tell me!
Well, please show your mother to her rooms.
Adnan was your friend. He loved you and you needed him. Now look what you're left with. Men who are nothing but afraid of you.
Adnan was killed in a tragic accident. I'm sorry.
Accidents do not happen in Iraq anymore.
Sajida, go shopping.
She stares at him with grief-stricken eyes.
Come on, Mama.
Let's go. The children help her out of the room. Saddam looks at Hussein.
At this meeting of the Arab League, nothing can be left to chance. We need to remind the Emir that he is an Arab, not a Texas cowboy.
The Emir emerges from a building and goes over to his waiting limousine. He gets inside.
Emir.
He takes off his sunglasses to see Saddam sitting opposite.
I wouldn't want there to be any misunderstanding between us. By driving down the price of oil, you are declaring economic war on Iraq. As one Arab to another. I am asking you to stop.
Saddam Hussein.
If you do not, we will have to defend our honor.
You think you can intimidate me?
think you have powerful friends. But you are not the only one with powerful friends. Salamu alaikum, Saddam Hussein al-Tikriti. Salamu alaikum.
The Emir gets out of the car. In a meeting room.
Ambassador, I have summoned you here to ask, what does it mean when America says it will protect Kuwait? It can only mean prejudice against Iraq. We understand that the United States wants to secure the flow of oil, but it must not use methods which it says it disapproves of. If we feel that you want to injure our pride, then we will cease to care and death will be our choice.
Mr. President, you speak of friendship, and I believe it is clear from the letters President Bush has sent to you that we value our friendship with Iraq extremely highly. I know you need funds to rebuild your country, but we have no opinion on Arab-Arab conflict, like your border disagreement with Kuwait.
No opinion?
That's correct. However, I would like to stress our president's strong desire for peace and stability in the Middle East.
Tariq, she backed down.
So? How was the meeting?
These things are always difficult to read.
She expressed no opinion on Arab-Arab conflicts. The big collaborators have been found out, and they backed down.
That is excellent.
She also mentioned President Bush's desire for peace.
Of course. Peace is what we all desire. But first, the world has to be fair. And at the moment, it is not fair. Kuwait believes they have powerful friends. They will never agree to our demands. They will continue to steal our oil, and they will sell our debt to foreign banks, effectively making Iraq bankrupt. We have no choice but to invade Tariq. No choice. Hussein?
Saddam's watching a news report showing a plume of black smoke over Kuwait City. In the capital, a dawn bombing raid was followed by a drop of Iraqi special forces. There was no resistance, and the Emir and his family are believed to have fled the country. President Saddam Hussein responded to criticism by declaring Kuwait to be Iraq's 19th province. In Kuwait City, Iraqi forces began the job of reclaiming imported goods brought with the proceeds of Iraqi oil wealth.
I can't believe we got the Emir's fucking dinner service. Make sure none of it gets broken. Oh, golden boy. What? Not expecting to see me here?
Hussein ignores Uday and continues to rummage around the goods in the huge warehouse. Uday charges over to him and snatches a piece of paper from his hands.
Does my father know you're here?
Why don't you mind your own business? And I will mind mine.
Dad, there is enough here for all of us. No fighting.
I've not forgot about you, Hussein. My father has had many favorites. But only one first son.
Zaki laughs and follows Uday out of the warehouse. Hussein and Ali exchange a look.
The aircraft carrier USS Independence is now being sent to reinforce American naval strength in the Gulf as the West ponders over what to do next. The fact is that President Saddam Hussein has seized control of some of the world's...
Kuwait and the Americans are buying the support of 30 nations, Tariq. It requires the might of 30 nations to face Iraq. We should be proud. Now, what of negotiations?
Not good news, Mr. President. None of our grievances will be considered until we withdraw unconditionally.
They fear me, Tariq. They want to destroy me.
Mr. President, in the last year, the world has turned on its head. Russia no longer has influence.
Russia will never abandon Iraq. Gorbachev will talk, and they will listen.
I'll do my very best. Your Excellency.
Deliver Gorbachev.
But the...
America will not stand aside. The world will not allow the strong to swallow up the weak.
A Russian news story showing the build-up to the Gulf War. Then a CNN headline which reads, War in the Gulf.
For the U.S. response, we go now live to CNN's Wolf Blitzer, live at the Pentagon.
An Arabic news report. BBC News.
The deadline for Iraq to comply with all United Nations resolutions passed just over 4 hours ago, with no sign of Iraqi forces starting to pull out of Kuwait.
Gentlemen, war is now inevitable. This is a war that we have already won. It takes 30 nations to stand against one single Arab power. Already we are glorious.
Baba, maybe we are playing into their hands. Maybe we should pull back. Even America would not attack a retreating army.
There will be no retreat.
But the Americans, they have far superior technology. Smart bombs, missiles. There is a chance we could be obliterated before we even see their faces.
The president has spoken. There will be no retreat.
Exactly. Say, America will not be able to stomach the loss of 10,000 soldiers. We have the greater will, and we will never bow our heads. Never! Iraq has become the nation we dreamed it would be. And God will be on our side in this, the mother of all battles.
6 weeks later, nighttime in Baghdad, and explosions rip through the city, huge plumes of billowing fire rising into the sky. Saddam and Samira are riding in the back of a car. Saddam switches off his handheld radio.
You look tired. You should rest.
There will be time for rest later.
We can stay at the next house for at least 4 hours. It's not far.
As they pass an intersection, a speeding car slams into Saddam's car, sending it spinning out of control. In the aftermath, Samir is unconscious, blood speckled over her face. Saddam throws open his door and staggers out of the car, bloody cuts on his face. An army jeep pulls up and Hussein rushes out with some soldiers.
Please, Tobias.
Tobias.
You are safe.
At hospital, Saddam sitting at the end of a row of plastic chairs, hanging his head.
Mr. President?
Saddam follows the doctor out. He goes into an emergency room where Samira's lying on a bed, conscious, while a nurse and doctor tend to her wounds. The doctor approaches Saddam.
She fractured her cheekbone, Mr. President. And of course, she will need stitches.
See to it.
Of course.
Saddam has stitches over his right eye and below his ear. He goes over to Samira and holds her hand.
Samira, I have to go.
No!
I will arrange for you to be taken to safety. I have to go, my love.
He kisses her hand. He holds her hand tightly, and as he moves away, Samira's face trembles with emotion. Hussein beckons Saddam into the corridor.
Thank you.
As Saddam heads out, the doctor returns to Samira.
We
have a new command post ready for your approval. It is close by. It is the villa of a loyal party member. His name is Hafts.
Saddam wanders through the hospital, surveying the carnage around him. A pool of blood on the floor, a wounded man slumped in a wheelchair, a small child lying on a bed with a bloody leg. Kusei comes out of a house and runs over to Saddam and his party, striding down the street.
Baba! Baba, are you all right?
Fine.
Everything's already inside.
A radio operator speaks into a microphone while Hussein stands next to him, watching intently. A woman peeks through a door in the next room as Saddam and his aides come inside. She looks nervous.
Yes, myself, at the living room.
News footage of the bombing of Baghdad. Saddam, Kusei and Hussein are watching the TV. Hafiz is standing at the mantelpiece, where there's a large photograph of Saddam.
Mr. President, I wish we had known you were coming. I would have prepared things.
We must get you out of the city and into hiding. As long as you are free, they cannot claim victory.
I will not hide. In 300 years, the invasion of Kuwait will not look like a mistake.
The woman comes into the room.
Oh, my wife, Aisha.
Can I get you anything? A glass of tea?
Tea, thank you. We must prepare.
Saddam speaking into a tape recorder.
Applaud your victories, my dear citizens. You have faced the might of 30 countries, great armies. You have won. You are glorious. How sweet victory is.
Kusei standing by his father, watching. Saddam hesitates, looking deeply troubled, and curls his fingers around his glass of tea. Kusei looks away. In an oil field, jets of fire rise out of the wells in great raging columns. In the radio room, Hussein's on the phone.
I am ordering you to stand and fight. Stand and fight! Deserters will be shot! Cowards will be shot, do you understand?
Hussein.
Saddam approaches him.
What's happening?
The withdrawal from Kuwait is almost complete, and we believe we have inflicted heavy losses on our enemy. I am ordering our forces to regroup at the border. The coalition will never dare pursue us into our territory. Like that, we can counterattack more effectively from our new position.
Hussein! It's too late for lies. My people report a sustained attack. The main column retreating along Highway 80. The army is trapped on the Mitla Ridge. We are losing a lot of men. A large number of units are surrendering, others deserting.
Why wasn't I told this?
If the Americans cross the border.
We expect them to do so in the next couple of hours.
Why did you not tell me this?
I have not had these reports.
You are the commander of my army.
What good would it do? We're finished. There's nothing we can do to stop them. Stop it!
Uday watches with interest.
Pull back. All of the Republican Guard units. They must fall back to defend Baghdad. Do it now.
As Hussein gets on the radio, Saddam and Kusei leave the room, and Uday smirks.
This is General Hussein, your commanding officer. There are new orders for all Republican Guard units.
Saddam's lying asleep in a small room, the walls bathed in pale red light. Kusei looks in on him, then gently closes the door. He goes over to Hussein.
He's sleeping.
Uday raises a shot glass.
To dead men, which is what we are.
Better dead than being captured.
How can he sleep?
Uday and Kusei drink.
What were we thinking? Taking on America.
Can I kill him now?
Uday stares at Hussein, then looks back at Kusei.
No one would miss him.
Hussein stands up and walks out.
Baba would miss him.
Well, if the Americans come, I'm gonna put a bullet in his head.
If the Americans come, I'll be pleased to let you.
Uday smiles and raises his glass. They both drink. This is the Southern Command to Central Command. Can you hear me? Is this thing working? Rows of street lamps on a Baghdad street at night. Saddam's towering statue cast in silhouette by the dawn sky. The river gleams as the sun rises. Saddam's asleep. A hand gently shakes his shoulder.
Baba. Baba, wake up.
The Americans have declared a ceasefire. They're withdrawing to the border.
Saddam leans up in bed and looks at Kusei.
Are you sure?
Kusei smiles.
It's confirmed.
Saddam stands up.
This comes direct from God. God has chosen life for Saddam Hussein. I need to see my people. I must declare our victory! This is a great victory! A great victory, my sons!
A plane drops leaflets. Saddam gets to his knees. Uday and Kusei behind him.
Praise be to Allah for saving Iraq! Praise be to Allah for saving Saddam Hussein!
A leaflet flutters against Uday's face. He crumples it. Saddam picks up a leaflet. In English and Arabic it says, "People of Iraq, rise up against Saddam."
This is my country.
He stands and looks up to the sky.
This is my country!
Uday fires his rifle into the air.
My country!
House of Saddam continues next Wednesday, and there's more new drama for Friday nights on BBC Two, The Tudors, also at 9.